Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. This is Hip Hop Save My Life. Sorry, I'm getting stuff out of my bag when I'm doing this intro. How are you, Rupert?
I'm good, yeah. We've just come from an interview, so this is a post-interview intro.
Yeah, it's the first time we've done this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we need to dwell on it for as long as we have done, but...
just to set the scene,
yes.
We're in the basement of...
Sweet Chick.
Nas's London-based...
Chicken Eatery.
Yeah.
And who did we just interview?
DJ Premier, up-and-coming...
I don't know if you can tell, but we're fanboying.
Yeah. It was a horrible. I'd hate to watch us record the podcast.
Oh, God.
I felt like we were just leaning forward.
I know. Yeah?
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 I think I said, wow, 45 times.
Yeah, I said, really? Like that? 106 times.
And I had to stop myself to, like, sort of make... from making sort of sarcastic remarks, because he can't really go there.
No, the fear is that you sort of go, well... I want Primo to know that we're cool, funny guys. But at the same time, I don't want to offend him, so he gets up and leaves the interview. And then forever, every time I see Primo, whatever gig or whatever, I'll know that he thinks I'm a cop.
Yeah.
That would be the worst, wouldn't it?
I think the most relaxing part was him ordering food.
Yeah.
So we got a little breather.
Yeah, that was the only time when you and I displayed any kind of humour. And that was because we were talking to each other and he couldn't hear us.
You pitched a kale burger.
Oh, God, it just... It went to nothing.
You've been busy, you're tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired too.
Yeah. I've just done the fucking Royal Variety, mate.
There you go, mate. Oh, yeah, how was it?
It's good. But I want to know if anybody has had more diverse jobs in entertainment than doing the Royal Variety and then going on to interview DJ Premier.
Yeah.
DJ Premier. See, I'm still dealing with the adrenaline.
And then recording this incredible intro in someone's office with no windows. You've made it, dude.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. So anyway, Hip Hop Saved My Life with up-and-comer DJ Premier.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
And without no further ado, we're going to celebrate the legacy of hip-hop and gangsta. And it goes a little something like this.
I can't start, it's got to be the short shot. And it's like that. One more time.
I can't start, it's got to be the short shot. And it's like that.
That's the shit.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life, and we are delighted to say we are joined by a legend, DJ Premier. Hello.
I can't believe
you're doing this, man.
I'm here, man.
You made it.
So you're about to do a gig with...
Laura Finesse. Can't call it.
Let's call Finesse on the phone. You got to answer it.
Laura Finesse, I'm doing a podcast.
So what brings you over to London?
It's on silent. I'm actually... on a promo tour for our new Gangstar album, One of the Best Yet.
Yeah.
We wanted to do the whole run from London to Germany and just all throughout. But time won't permit right now. And the album dropped November 1st. And actually, the physical CD just dropped on the 15th of November. And the vinyl drops out here December 7th.
Right, and we've both listened to the album. It's an amazing album.
Thank you very much.
It's unbelievable. And I wasn't expecting, I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting a new Gangstar album.
So
how long had you planned it for?
It was planned to come after the anniversary of Moment of Truth's 20th year. Was it 20 years, Moment of Truth?
Yeah.
And we were going to, you know, do a whole, we did a whole bundle of merch, and then right after that we were supposed to drop the first single, which was going to be Bad Name. Then we ran into some roadblocks, My father got sick, very sick, and then he passed away in the mix of all of that. So I had to put everything on hold and focus on family first. So during that situation, that took a few months to just get back to New York. And, you know, everybody knows I'm from Texas originally. I think y'all know that.
Yeah, we do.
And then once I regrouped and made sure my mom was straight and my whole family was back in order, I got back to recording the album.
Amazing.
And how did it come about that you decided that it's time that you're going to do a new one?
Ever since Guru passed, for the last 7 years, I knew that somehow his partner Solar had his hands on under these materials, because I went to court with his with Guru's family, his son's mother, and Guru's sister, to one of his siblings, because he has a brother and two sisters. But they wanted to get their hands on the rights to everything he owns, rightfully so.
Yeah,
because it should go to his son, who's the heir to his estate.
Yeah, who's also on the album.
Right.
Yeah.
He's Keith Elam as well. He's Keith Kasim Elam. Guru is Keith Edward Elam.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I was like, well, he and I don't get along, so you know he's not gonna want me to have him.
Yeah.
But I still believe somehow I'm gonna have it. 7 years fast forward, for one, he lied under oath during the courts. I was there for a lot of it, and he eventually changed his lie and said that he does have stuff. The family won the case, all his bank accounts, everything, but he put it into appeal, which is still the case. So, you know, if you appeal, that holds everything up. It's almost like a bankrupt situation. It protects you from losing all your property. So the appeal court hasn't happened yet, so that delays getting our hands on the material.
Right.
My manager said, let me see if I can, you know, my manager Ian said, I have no emotional attachment, because my manager's newer to the family and he's younger, so he wasn't around the whole Gangstar trials and tribulations after he hooked up with Solar. So
yeah.
During that time, being that that's all new to him, he's like, I have no emotional attachment. You should let me see if I can get involved with making it happen. He reached out to his lawyer, and the lawyer said it's a possibility based on what kind of number you're talking. He said, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
So numbers started being thrown around. First, it was astronomical. I'm like, no, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Just sticking with the legacy we had. More time passed. Another number was thrown. I'm like, no, I'm not paying that, you know. And then finally came to a number I was comfortable to pay for, and we did negotiations, and he signed a contract that stated all rights are being relinquished to me and to the estate. And I told them, I think I can make a full Gangstar album if I get your okay. They were like, totally, do what you need to do.
Right.
We trust you.
Mm.
And I've known his family since I joined the group, so we're already familiar. That when somebody, I'm not somebody they had to get to know.
Yeah.
Even his son, you know, since he was born, he's known me. So they've never looked at me as the bad guy or a person they couldn't trust. And also his nephew, Justin, who's a major part of all of this, because he's the one that started this whole ride of exposing him on YouTube and talking about...
Right.
Something weird's going on with my uncle, and I'm putting it out there, and that's how I started this whole drama. So he's a very important part. Even though Solar denounces him, he's legit. Mm-hmm. And plus, I have no need to lie after being in 30 years and all the accomplishments we've done and tours, and all the people that know me know I'm not an asshole and somebody that you hate in the industry. So it's believable that I'm telling the truth, you know what I'm saying? And then... what gain would I have when we already have 7 albums under our belt?
Yeah.
Even if we never did this 8th album, we're still fine, because those albums will never stop existing. So as time passed, we came up with a number. I said, let me hear all the material and make sure it's not stuff that's already been released.
Yeah.
I listened to them. These were rhymes I were not familiar with. I checked every Jazzmatazz album. I checked his Ball Head Slick and the Click. There were a couple that were on there. There was one that was on there, I take that back, one. And the one that was on there was a freestyle that he used to do in our shows to segue into another song.
Right.
I was like, you know what, that's one out of 30.
Yeah.
Out of the 30, some of them weren't excellent, but I'd rather be in possession of them. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me still buy them. You know? So like I said, they weren't incredible, but
so none of that stuff was stuff that you'd recorded with him.
No,
just the two of you.
Yeah, not at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what? You did you? So you cherry picked the stuff that you thought was like top quality, right?
Mm-hmm. His lawyer brought everything so I could hear him, and then once I heard the first time he brought them, he just brought snippets, and I was like, no deal, because they're fading out in 60 seconds or 30 seconds. I'm like, how do I know? That's as far as it goes.
Was he sitting there with you listening?
The lawyer, not him. Not me. Right. I didn't want to be in the room with him. It would have been ugly. Yeah. So the lawyer sat there. We said, no go. Let's find another day to meet. We met another day. And then he played the full version so that I could go, okay, this is definitely a go. Because, again, can't go off of snippets.
And then
I just started already kind of hearing the ones that I felt like I could already mess with this hint, listening, even in snippet mode. I was like, ooh, bad name. And they didn't have titles. They were just track one, track two, track three, track four, track five, track six, track seven, track eight, you know. So then as I heard them, I started just writing, I call them dummy titles, just something so I could reference, because I don't want to be like play track seven. It won't really register in my brain, but names do. So I started bad name, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then Diamonds Are Forever Like Family. At the time, I just put Diamonds, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to call it Diamonds because Rihanna had a hit Diamonds, Kanye had Diamonds, and he did the remix with Jay-Z, and then it's just a lot of Diamond records. So I was like...
But this is Diamonds in a completely different context, isn't it?
Yeah, but just temporarily I wrote Diamonds, but I said when we get to the point of where I've titled it, I'm not going to call it that. I was going to call it Family and Loyalty, and then in parentheses put Diamonds, but I'm like, that's too much. It's called Family and Loyalty because he says that in the rhyme.
Yeah.
And everything that's based off of what he said, I would just write it down so I had names to reference, and then I started just pulling the ones that sounded like I could go to work and start doing it. It took me three songs to really start saying, I'm ready to do this.
Was it difficult? Was it emotionally, or was it difficult?
Very emotional, crying by myself, you know, when no one's around. They know I'm going 2-3 in the morning. When no one's around, the phone's not going to ring at that time, and I could just go to work on and just pray over his ashes, because the family gave me some of his ashes. So I would pray over that with some sage, which is known to ward off all negative energy.
Yeah.
I would do a little ritual that I do when I walk in the room, and when I get started, I leave the ashes right there on the board right here. And there's a dope picture of us in this frame, and it's sitting right there, so I put the ashes in front, and then I feel like he's right there with me. Sometimes I'll be working on the beat, and then I'll just put my hand on the ashes like that, and just be like, and then get right back to it. And it just started coming together. The first song I did was called Bless the Mic, which is actually the last song on the album. That one I was like, this is cool, a little smooth and laid back, but I got to make that gang star joint. And then Bad Name was the second record I made.
Yeah.
And I made that, I'm like, this is us. This is traditional gang star. Blessing Mike was too, but Bad Name was what I was looking for to create, to get into gang star mode.
Yeah.
Then after that one, I did one called So Many Rappers, but not the one on the album. It was a totally different piano style loop. Totally different from the one that I ended up remixing and making that beat. And then Family and Loyalty was the fourth one I did. Once I did Family and Loyalty, I was like, we're really in the groove now.
That's
when I started making phone calls. I hit up Drake, said, hey man, just right after we finished up working on Sandra Rose on his album. And he was like, man, I'm going on tours anyway. I can maybe after the tour's over. But I was like, I don't want to stop the momentum of locking down guaranteed artists, so I was like, maybe next time. So reached out to Kendrick, and they were like, this is the bad time, he's about to get into record mode, and he needs to focus on that, so maybe, you know, later. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Reached out to Cole, but I gave him So Many Rappers, the original version, and as soon as I gave it to him, I texted him and said, yo man, forget I gave you that. He had just let me get the acapella to 1995, and I did a DJ Premier remix to that. And I said, the subject matter that Guru's saying is too similar to that, so I really don't want you on that one. He goes, bro, that's crazy. I was about to text you and tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
I've already touched on that subject. So he said, just send me whatever else you got. I waited till damn near the last three or four songs to mix, And then I sent Cole Family and Loyalty, even though I had already worked on it, but I visited working on it, and I'm like, now I need an MC. Mm. And Guru's second verse was right next to the first verse. I split it and separated and said, some of these are going to middle. Told Cole that. Within 10 minutes, he texted me back and said, bro, I got the chills right now. He's like, this is the one. He said, I'm on it. He's like, how do you got them sounding like this? I'm like, dude, this is what we do. And next thing you know, he said, I got you. He called me and said, yo, I got more than 16 bars. Is that okay? I'm like, dog, you can have a million bars. Do whatever you want to do. And he sent it back, and he was going on vacation with his family. He had just had another child with his wife. I said, we'll come to you to do the video. And we went to North Carolina because he literally was moving to a new house. And he said, I'll take the time out, but I only have a couple hours. So that's all we need.
Wow.
Didn't have a concept yet. I called Fab Five Freddy since he did Just to Get a Rep with us back in 1990. He was like, what's the song about? I told him. And he said, oh, and J. Cole's on it too. And he said, hey, man, I didn't like all that stuff with the fake will and all that stuff. You know, that really bothered me because I didn't believe that will written by Guru and all that. He said, we should reenact that and do it the right way with the will being presented to his son. I was like, well, write it up, the treatment, and send it to me. He sent it and said, you know, it's going to be him giving these precious stones. And when we give it to people in the neighborhood, it's going to turn into diamonds. I was like, yo, I'm with it. And then I sent it to Guru's family for their okay. They were like, we love it. They're like, do your thing.
Mm.
And so that's why at the reading of the will is Justin, who set off the whole alarm, Guru's son, and Suge, because he's the founder of Gangstar with Guru.
Yeah.
So they, and of course me, so not the founder, but just being in that part of the reading of the will, the most important part. And that's how we did it.
Amazing. Do you want to, order some food?
Yeah. Let me get some mat.
No, don't worry about it. We've got to wait.
Is there a way I can just get a couple pieces of chicken?
Yeah. I don't know what the vegan options are. Diamonds.
Like a freshly cut diamond. Diamonds are forever like friends that'll kill for you. Went up in a jewelry store, burglary, steal for you. Bill with you, split the diamond in two, ice blue. Trice, you try to disrespect our kinship, I don't like you. And now you axed out the fam, but I'm cashing checks with Premier on this jam. Robin Leach, interviews on the beats. When we shake hands, nothing but ice on the reach.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So you sound like quite philosophical about all of the stuff with Solar and all this. Have you managed to give yourself some distance from that? Was that something that you still kind of... feel angry about that whole fallout from all of that?
The anger left the day he died, you know what I'm saying? Because I got to see him in the hospital right before and feel his presence, even though he wasn't out of the coma, but just watching him just look like he was waking up, like he's laying there and his eyes fluttering like this, and it's almost like he's gonna get up. But the respirator was breathing for him, and it was just like such a disappointing sight to see. And I wasn't allowed in the hospital. I snuck in there, and I remember the nurse walked in and said, "Hey, you're not supposed to be in here. You're not on the list. You got to get out." And I had the moment of truth CD. I said, "Ma'am, look, that's us." And I even took the sleeve out and said, "Look, see, we're musicians. This is my partner. I haven't seen him in a while. I heard he was sick. I just want to come show some love." And that's it. She goes, "You got 5 minutes and you got to get out." And wow. The CD helped.
Yeah.
You know, and so I said my words to him. I said, I will make sure your family's good.
Yeah.
And we've done that from day one. From day one, we fought to make sure everything's turned over to his family and to his son. His son was 9 years old, you know. Definitely needed help from some adults. And we know everything, you know. Solo was claiming he owns the logo and the name. It's like, why would you even want to? Like, why would you even want to own Gangstar at all? You're not even a fan of us. I saw the interview where he said, "I was never a fan." And it's out there, you know, really? On YouTube. Yeah. So if you're never a fan, why you want to hold on to this and not just say, "I'm making sure his son," you can even say, "Forget Premier. I want to make sure his son is holding on to it. As long as you give it to his son and it's in the right hands, I'll deal with his family later. They're not going to turn on me because they know I'm legit. And we don't have an agenda." You know what I'm saying? Everything that we built together is important to the legacy of the whole name. So that's what I still represent. And Suge does the same. And that's where we started Gangstar Enterprises, which is me, Gru's nephew, his son's mother, Lana, and Gru's sister, Trish, who Solar always disrespects and says she's a fraud. She's nobody. He wasn't even in touch with her. And it's like, bullshit. Like, that's it. Out of all of his siblings, she's the one he trusted to confide in whenever he had problems, whenever he was going through distress. He always dealt with Trish, and all the years I've come up with him, that's who he was around. Her and her two sons, also Denzel, who's Justin's little brother, he's the one that had to convince me to go to the hospital, because I was like, "I'm not going to go."
Right.
Really? Yeah, and he's a young kid. He's yelling at me on the phone going, "Motherfucker, you go. If anybody needs to see him, you need to see him."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Dude, I'm not gonna be able to get in." He goes, "Find a way." Wow. Just like that.
Really?
I was like, just the emotion of a young kid talking to me like that. I was like, "Okay, Denzel, I'm gonna go."
Yeah.
I called my homies, because one of them that had to escort Justin and be his security just in case he had to get ugly, he had to come with me because he knows where to go. I don't know where to go in the hospital to find his room. So he came with me, and our homie Vic Black, who played the drug dealer and Just to Get a Rep.
Yeah.
One of them, like, "I need more money, more money." Yeah, him, that he came with me. And I waited in the parking lot in the car. They said, "We're going to see if we can get in there first."
Right.
They snuck in. They were able to get in there. He calls me and says, "Come on, get in here now. You can sneak in." Right when I come in, he's motioning like, "Hurry up, hurry up." The information people see him doing that. So they're looking like, "Excuse me, you know, so all this," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm just going to see Keith Elam." She goes, "Hold on a second." Looks at the list, and she goes, "What's your name?" And I told her my name. She's like, "You're not on the list. You can't go." I called Guru's father. Guru's father said, "Ask for a proxy advocate. They can't deny you." He's a Supreme Court judge, and he said, "Ask for," and he had already forced Solar and the hospital to let Justin see him the day, maybe 3 days before, 4 days before. So he told me, "Just ask for a proxy advocate. They're gonna know you know more than what, who would know to ask for that?" Because Solo was the healthcare proxy. I went, they said, "Well, the healthcare proxy's in a meeting." I went really early that morning. I said, "The healthcare proxy's in a meeting right now. It's gonna probably be an hour or so." I said, "I'll wait." All of a sudden, people just coming down and just mumbling and looking at me, and I'm just like, "What the hell?" You know, and then next thing you know, my partner Black's like, "Yo, let's see if we can go through one of the side doors." And I'm like, "Nah, because those side doors of the hospital got alarmed. You push that door open, it's going to go off, and they're going to be wondering what the hell's going on." Then we ran to a guy who was on lunch break, Black guy, on lunch break over by where all the dumpsters are, where they throw all the garbage, and I probably, you know, dirt, old sheets and stuff, smoking a cigarette and eating this sandwich. And I'm like, yo, man, do you know who I am? He goes, yeah, yeah, you a gangster. He goes, I'm like, yeah. I said, yo, man, can you sneak me in here to see Guru? He said, yeah, man, no Guru's up in there. You know, he said, he's not doing well, man. I said, yeah. I said, I'm not on the list. Can you get me in? He goes, I'll tell you what. Can you listen to one of my demo tapes?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is, like, I'm not making this up. I go, dude, I'm damn near ready to sign you. Yeah. If you just get me in there.
Yeah.
And he happened to work in the morgue.
Right.
You know, so he's like, I can't promise, but let me see what I can do. You just wait here. Give me like 15, 20 minutes. I was like, all right, we wait. I'm looking at my watch. I remember I never looked at my watch so much.
Yeah.
Like, black man, he's taking too long. I don't think he's coming back. He's like, I'm telling you, just wait. Now it's becoming almost a half hour. I'm like, no, I don't think he's coming back. I said, let's just be patient. Now it's almost 40 minutes. I'm like, nah, forget it. I'm going to do it my way. We go back to the front because we're way around the side. We drive back to the front. They're doing construction on the bathrooms. You know, the ones that just you could walk in publicly at a hospital. Right when I go in to talk to the woman to tell her I really need to use the bathroom really bad while I wait for the proxy advocate, she said, well, we're under construction right now, but I'm going to let you go down the hall, but I'm going to give you 5 to 10 minutes. If you're not back, I'm going to call the authorities because you ain't come back. And I was like, no problem. Which way do I go? She goes around behind my desk, go down by the gift shop. You're going to see another bathroom. I said, okay. Now, as I start walking through there, on my way to walk that way, a black guy rolls up in a wheelchair to the information desk and just starts cursing really loud. I want to see my motherfucking doctor right now. I want to see Dr. So-and-so. They obviously knew him because whatever his name was, just using a dummy name, Mr. Smith. Hey, Mr. Smith, would you calm down? We're going to see your doctor. No, I want to see him now. I've been bullshitting. I'm tired of this bullshit. He's causing a distraction. I'm like, damn, now she's paying attention to him. This is the best time to make a run for it, to go on to the second floor where his room is. His room was, I think, was 268, because I go down the hall, and then when I turn around by the gift shop, I see the elevators are going down. You know, it has a number show with floors on. I see it's on 4, and then I see it say 3, 2. I'm like, I look over at her. She's distracted by that guy still yelling. And she's like, just calm down. I'm going to call your doctor again, you know, whatever. They were familiar with him. And right when I'm about to walk on, a family of 4, like a Latino family, big guy, looks like he plays football. And his wife is like a big lady too, you know, not as big as him, but still a big, hefty lady. And they had their 2 kids. They walk up and get in front of me at the elevator right when it hits the lobby level. I'm like, I'm gonna walk on with them. Right when they're walking on, I look back again to make sure she's not looking back to catch me. She's not looking because she's still dealing with this guy. I get on. I said, what floor y'all going to? She said, 2. They said, 2. That's where I'm going. I said, I'm going to 2 as well. I get behind them because I'm already thinking when I get off the elevator, I don't know if they're warned or on standby to catch another one of us. Because when they called about my 2 guys, she said, has anybody been up there? She said, there were these 2 black guys that were there earlier. So already, I know there might be a lookout, another black guy coming because they got to be looking for Guru. I followed them around the doors because Denzel had told me, you got to walk through these double doors. You know, he'd already told me which way I got to go. Boom. I go through, and the lady jumps out and goes, yes, man, help y'all. And they were like, yeah, we're looking for, again, I could be wrong on the name. I thought it was Gonzalez. You know, like, just using that as the right name. We're looking for such and such Gonzalez. She said, what room number? They said 269. Guru's in 268.
Right.
She goes, come this way. I walk with them. Because if this is 268, you're 269. Once they go ahead and she's about to let them in, I go back and just slide to the door. She didn't see me. They were such a big family.
Yeah.
She didn't see me, and that's how I slid inside.
That's amazing, man.
Crazy, right?
So when you came to do this album, because obviously the whole creative process, you've got to, you know, you've got to be like loose and just into it.
Yeah.
You must have been feeling like a lot of pressure. You know, it's been so difficult for you to get these vocals, and then suddenly you're putting this album together.
Yeah.
Was that hanging over you? Did you find that difficult to get through that?
Not difficult, but just emotional, where you cried just at random, just like out of happiness, but also like, damn, you're not here, dude. Like you should be here for this. And spiritually you are, because I would do a ritual where I would bless the room before I start, but still it was to where I would just go in with the attitude of, you know how to make a gangster album, so do it.
Yeah.
You know, and do it the way you know he would like it. And that's how I went in every day.
And was there any part of you that's thinking, if I can't get this to be up to what I want it to be, I'm not going to put it out?
Or... Oh, yeah, I would have.
Really, yeah?
Oh, yeah. If it didn't sound like it's up to par, I'm not releasing it.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. I don't want people going, man, you did a bad job trying to resurrect this guy.
Yeah. Because those albums, it's difficult, isn't it, to do that properly, right?
Yeah, but I totally was like, man, I'm going to kill it. And I was excited.
Yeah. And then you're putting that out for... I guess I don't know how much you think about who you're putting out for, but obviously putting out for Gangstar fans.
Mm-hmm.
But were you thinking, I'm hoping this is going to bring new people to Gangstar, you know, that...
Not initially, because I just said the diehard fans who haven't had an album in 16 years, they're going to be with it.
Yeah.
Because if I'm loving it, they're going to love it. They're not going to... Because they already know what they want from where we stopped with And then a lot of people I remember Solar was saying that we were doing smear campaigns against Guru and having fans disrespect the their Jazzmatazz 4 and what was the other one, the Jazz Messenger. No, it just wasn't good material.
Yeah.
It's not where, I mean, I didn't even know the internet like that back when they were doing that. So who am I going to call and go, hey, man, can you diss Guru and Solar? Like, who's even thinking like that?
Yeah.
I'm not even thinking that way. So why would you even think that that's what we're doing? And putting that in the Guru's head, thinking that that's the truth. Mm. It's like, that's asinine and psycho.
Yeah.
Psychotic. So right there, I'm just like, oh, man, this dude's really nuts, but we got to just keep on staying on our path of positive energy and just do what we do. If we ever get our hands on that music, we'll do it the way we've been doing. If we don't, we still have 7 albums and tons of history and videos and interviews that are out there and the memories of the music we laid down. So I was good either way. But for closure for me, I was like, the fans deserve to hear it if it's in my hands, because I'm going to make it sound like the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And even now he's saying that I'm plagiarizing and stole everything. It's like, why would I buy them from you and I got to produce it with you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at every Gangsta album. Does it say produced by anybody but me? It's just co-produced by Guru. And even that is his input from the perspective of rhyming and creative titles and whatnot. And my job is producing and doing the tracks. And even maybe throwing a title or a subject for him to write to. But other than that, we don't need help. Producing it, and I gotta pay you a check. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So why would I stand? How else could I steal it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you signed every right over on paper.
Yeah.
Now you're saying all that's made up. It's like, come on. Can you tell the truth about anything?
Yeah.
Like, even he wrote a book, Moment of Truth. I saw an interview recently. He said, a Guru started writing the book. I helped him write it. And he said, if I die, you can finish it. It's like, finish what?
Yeah.
You don't know us like that.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about us.
But there can't, are there people that are siding with him in this whole thing?
Oh, they're all imitation.
Right.
None of them are real.
Yeah.
Anything you're saying like that, all for real. Can't believe he stole them. Come on.
Yeah.
Who's this from? Who?
Yeah.
Every time you see him, he's by himself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to tell you now, we've been talking about it on the podcast. The album is amazing, man. Like, it's such a great album. But the reason I ask you about who you put it out for, I mean, I know you put it out for the Gangsta fans, but actually...
And for his fans, for his son.
Yeah.
To be able to benefit from it, because the estate, the only revenue that, besides his publishing from all of his past music, is from the merch that we sell, which we split 50-50. I give 50% of them, I give the other 50% to them, as we would have been doing anyway.
Yeah. Have you been surprised by the fact that actually when the album dropped, people that didn't know Gangstar have come to that album, though. Well, you're aware of that.
That's what J. Cole said.
Yeah.
That's why he said, Preem, I know you want to drop Bad Name first. Please drop mine first.
Yeah.
And then put Bad Name second. I was like, no, Cole, I can't, man.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds like my steez or a full clip. This is the way we would come out if we were dropping our first single. He said, I know that. He said, look at this. You're not building a fan base because you're already built.
Yeah.
He said, you don't have to stretch a single for 6 to 8 weeks like most people do, because your fans are so loyal that they're going to be like, you could drop another one in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, that's true. He said, and plus, my fans may not know who Gangstar is, and just because of that one record, they're going to go, Gangstar, oh, damn, they got 7 albums.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, okay, let me, oh, damn, I like this. And
yeah, yeah,
you're gaining a new audience.
Yeah.
So he convinced me. It took a minute because I was like, no, Cole, no. And plus, I didn't have a video concept yet. Yeah. I had one for Bad Name from day one. I said, I want Drew's son to imitate his father. And he said, I'm totally down to do it. And I was like, yo, but you got the dreads. He said, hey, I'll cut it whenever you're ready to shoot it. I'll cut them. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay, well, listen, so we were getting ready to do that video, and that's when Cole said, stop, and said, let's switch it. So when he said that, I'm like, I don't even have a concept for Family and Loyalty yet, because we figured Bad Name's going to run for a little while. Then I can start thinking about the Cole video and come up with a concept. And then we reached out to Jonah Hill because I saw the Travis Scott video he did. My manager showed me, and I was like, this is a dope video. It's really creative and left field, and he's a Gangstar fan. So from there, I said, you know what? Now, he couldn't do it at the time. So then I'm like, who can I call? Who can I call that gets Gangstar? I called Fab Five Freddy. I said, hey, man, see if you can help me do this video real quick. He said, for who? I said, Gangstar. He said, Gangstar? You got some new shit? I'm like, yeah.
Man, you know how you talk.
Yo, man, so what's the song about, man? I said, yo, I'll send it to you. I sent it to him. He goes, yo, man, I'm feeling this. He said, J. Cole went in. He said, yo. And that's when he said, hey, I don't like all that controversy with the Will. He said, we should reenact that. And that's how it all came together.
Do you have enough verses from that process to do more albums?
I bought 30 sessions.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of them were not to my liking far as what I know Guru sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. But I said, I'd rather me have them than him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, buy them. Some of them are just hooks with no verses. Yeah. Like, you know, we might be doing a commercial and they need a cool line. And I can use Guru's voice and get paid to send it so that the estate gets paid. And I'm always thinking about the estate eating every time, because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, so, and from day one, since he was 9 years old, when he's 19, going on 20, he's been taken care of financially through us.
Amazing.
Yeah. I came to see the Gods of Rap show at Wembley.
Yeah.
And obviously it's an amazing
show. That was
the
first show too, so I didn't have a set plan. I went in kind of blind.
But
like,
what's clear about you is that, you know, Gangsta's one thing, but also just hip-hop in general, you're so passionate about pushing that.
Yeah.
Do you still feel as happy with the art form and the health that it's in, as you always have done?
Absolutely. I have a radio show that I do every Tuesday on Eminem's channel, on Shade 45, on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and it's just raw and uncut underground, and there's so many boom bap records that are brand new that they are not getting the light of day because the DJs can't really play it in the mix because they're programmed to have to do what's on the playlist for people, you know, doing whatever they have to do to promote it or being paid to play. Where me, it's uncut, and, you know, they said do it the way you do it, and these records are available. So I do a playlist every Tuesday, every Wednesday, where I post what I play so that people can be like, damn, I actually can get this.
Preem's
playing.
Yeah.
And it helps keep that era alive because the boom bap era is more closer to the purest form of hip hop with dope beats, lyrics, scratching, and that concept of how it was created. So I stick to that. Yeah. And taking care of me my whole career, giving me homes and cars and investing money to save for my son's future and, you know, to buy my mother her mink coat she always wanted and stuff like that, you know. So I don't want to lose that. And then that's the sound I like as a fan.
Yeah.
The trap sound and everything that's popping now, I don't want to make that.
Yeah.
I don't mind it because my son don't like my style of music. He likes that.
Yeah.
So I keep up with it, but you're supposed to keep up with it. I do that, and I make sure that I stay true to this format, because this format is necessary.
Yeah. Well, listen, Primo, it's been like you are the greatest hip hop producer of all time.
Thank you,
to have a legend like you on the podcast is like a proper honour for us.
Yeah. And, we don't need to do any more now.
No, that's we're done. We're going to retire now.
But, we're working on a gangster documentary. I don't know if you say you follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
I've seen all these little clips we're
putting
up. This is from hundreds.
Right.
Not a couple, hundreds of tapes that we've had stored all these years, and now we're digitizing them so we can do a documentary. And I haven't even shown the 1989 and 1990 stuff. We're saving that. We're doing that, and this is kind of help pre-building it, because it's like seeing all this footage of us being cool with each other, bugging out. And I figure once we get that and shop it to Netflix or whoever to get a deal, then I take some more of the unreleased stuff and make an album to go with that.
Oh, amazing.
You know, maybe not as many songs, but, you know, even if it's 8 songs, it'd still be dope to have some more new shit to go with the documentary. So I'll go comb through all that stuff and just see what I have. But I have at least another 12, 15, left.
Okay, well, listen, on behalf of the podcast, thank you for everything you've done for the music, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So many rappers trying to get their name out. Many got caught up for just having their chain out. So many rappers couldn't handle showbiz. While I'm steady rocking, so you know what it is. So many rappers made this their dream. Then quickly, most have disappeared from the scene. So many one-hit wonders, it's like a spin of the wheel. You know I stay consistent and get it in for real. So many rappers wanna rock like this, but they got no stamina and they don't talk like this. Plus I've learned to avoid the traps. I truly love this shit, that's where the MTV raps. They'll get their little run and have a little fun. Some will go from popularity to a little then to none.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.